Good morning. It's been a while since I've been up here. I don't know if any of you remember, but the last time that I was up here was 5 years ago. I was visiting for the first time after C3, Cross Canada Cruisers, and shared my testimony. So that was a few years ago. I don't really see anybody here that I don't know, but I'm originally from PEI. I grew up in an assembly like this and saved at an early age and moved to Kamloops in the fall, and I'm here this summer. I'm going back in Kamloops in September. I'm here because my fiance lives here, Laura. So I told her that I moved to BC for her, but she seems to think it was for school, but she doesn't have that argument anymore because I don't have school in the summer. This morning, I will be speaking about the family of God, and in particular, how we are children of God, and how we are also sons of God, and the difference and significance that both of those have in our Christian life and in our walk with God. Some things that come to my mind when I think about the family of God, I first of all think of when did this family start? Because the New Testament talks about New Testament Christians, New Testament saints being children of God. John says that in John 1:12, that through believing on Jesus, God has given us the right or the privilege to become children of God, even to those that believe on his name. And in Galatians and Ephesians also talks about us being children of God and being sons of God. This family, for us as Gentiles, started after the Lord's resurrection, kind of at the same time that the church was formed, the New Testament church. But in the Old Testament, the Jews were recognized as sons of God as well. If you'll remember, and I didn't really, this stood out to me, in Exodus 4, when God is telling Moses to go deliver the children of Israel from Pharaoh in Egypt, in Exodus 4:22, God says to Moses the first thing to say when he got to Pharaoh, and that is, Israel is my firstborn. Let my son go that he might serve me. So Israel, the Jewish nation in the Old Testament, was recognized as being sons of God, or being the firstborn. That is only in the context of the nation of the Jews. The position that we have as God is our Father, Jews and Gentiles alike, that only occurred through after the incarnation of Jesus Christ. So for our first verse, turn to John 20. John 20:17. This is after the Lord was crucified, after he gave up the ghost, and Mary comes to visit the grave where he was buried. And this is the first time that Jesus refers to Mary and to the disciples as that God is your father and that you are my brethren. John 20:17 says, Jesus said to Mary, "Do not cling to me, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." So this is the first time that Jesus is calling the disciples his brethren. And at the first time he's saying that God is also their Father. And he hadn't yet ascended to his Father. So before this, up until this point, the Gentiles were separated from Israel. But Jesus is speaking to the Jews here. So this would have been new for them. They had been calling Jesus their teacher and the Messiah, the one from whom the Old Testament had prophesied, the one that would come to be the Savior of the world. And now he's saying that he's their brethren and that God is also their Father. So that's a very unique thing. And at this point, this is where, after this, at this time is when the new order of our relationship to God started. We'll turn to Ephesians chapter 2 to get an idea, a proper perspective of being part of the family of God. Because we call each other brothers and sisters, and a large part of that is because we are actually brothers and sisters in Christ. And we know that God is our Father, but I find, and you might find as well, that what does that even actually mean? Do we put that into the right perspective? How can we appreciate that we are children of God and that we are sons of God? So in Ephesians, this is where we can get a bit of that appreciation. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 to 18. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who are once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and, notice this, members of the household of God. So just to get a perspective, Gentiles were out of the picture. We, as Gentiles, were not part of the blessing of Israel. And it was through Israel, through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that God made a covenant of promise with them and gave them the law so that the world could be taught justification by faith. So Paul is telling the Jewish, or the Gentile Christians here, the position that they were in, the position in Christ that they didn't have. They were apart from Israel. They were uncircumcised, and it says that they were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. They didn't belong in the community of Israel. And even if the Gentiles wanted to know God, they could only go so far. That's why it says that they had no hope and they were without God. It's not that Gentiles in the Old Testament had no way of being saved. They were Gentiles in the Old Testament that were saved. And Hebrews 11 talks about those people. Rahab was one of them. That they were saved through faith. And it's in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, salvation is always through faith. But in the Old Testament, it was faith in what God had set up that that was going to come. Faith in that the promise, there's going to be a Savior that comes through Israel. Having faith in that was what saved Abraham, was what saved everybody in the Old Testament. But the Gentiles were still separated from the blessing of Israel. And that verse in Exodus where Jesus, where God says that Israel is his firstborn, that term firstborn means a position of privilege. And that's what the nation of Israel had, was a position of privilege with God, because it was through them that the Messiah and Savior of the world would come. And in that position of privilege, they had special blessings. For instance, God says, whoever curses you, I will curse. Whoever blesses you, I will bless. And an interesting one is that the Jewish nation, Israel, has always been there. And that in itself is a remarkable thing, because there have been dozens of empires trying to destroy Israel. And that's one of the hopes that they have. Paul says that the Gentiles had no hope. Well, they had no hope because they had no hope that them as their people and their nation would survive. But the Chaldean Empire, the Egyptian, the Babylonian, the Persian, even up till past close days, the Nazi Empire of Germany trying to destroy Israel. But yet they still remain. And that's because they have that special position, that privileged position with God, that we as Gentiles were not part of. We had no part in those blessings, and we had no hope, and we were without God. Even if we wanted to know God, we couldn't get close. And even Israel couldn't get close. So we're part of the family of God. We're children of God. We are sons of God. And I'm only trying to get by the first part of being children. So it is an amazing thing that having been separated, as Paul is explaining to them, you were strangers. You did not belong in Israel. You had no hope. You were without God. But we've been brought near by the blood of Christ. And he goes on to talk about, Paul says here in verse 14, that this wall of separation is broken down. So this wall of separation was between Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews had the law. So they thought that they were arrogant in that they had the law and that they had this special position with God. But the Gentiles, on the other hand, were hostile against this because they thought that they were it. And in a way that they were, but they were arrogant about it. And so there has been this wall of separation between Jews and Gentiles. So the wall of separation is gone, and the law of commandments is gone. So that the law, when Christ died, was fulfilled. So, thinking of the family of God, thinking of our relationship, to get a perspective, we weren't part of the privileged position that Israel had. But now we are. Jews and Gentiles alike are on the same playing field, the same level. Sons of God, children, and joint heirs with Christ. And that's what verse 19 says. We're not strangers and foreigners. We're fellow citizens, members of the household of God. So when do we come into the family of God? A couple of months ago, I don't know when, but I guess somebody spoke on the new birth. And that's when we're born into the family of God. So he turns me to John, back to John 1. John 3. John 3, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, Nicodemus being a Pharisee, a Jew. John 3, verse 3-6. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So, how are we brought into the family of God? Well, Jesus says he must be born again. And just like anybody becomes a part of any family, you know, through children, you're born into that family. You're born into that relationship. And we have to be born again. The nature that we did have, through Adam, sin nature, it couldn't happen through that, so that's why we're given a whole new life. And it is through this whole new life that we become this special place, this special relationship with God, children of God. So what does it mean to be born of water? Does that mean we're baptized when we're saved? Or we're saved when we're baptized? Scripture doesn't support that. The water here could be referring to various different things. But most commentators, or one commentator in particular, William MacDonald, supports that the water here represents the Word of God, the Scripture. Ephesians 5 verse 26 says that we've been cleansed by the washing of water with the Word. 1 Peter 1:23 says, having been born again through the living and abiding Word of God. And James 1:18 says that of His own will He brought us forth by the Word of truth. So part of the new birth is that we're born with the Scripture. So we can't be saved without the Scripture, because it's through the Scripture that we have the gospel and the message of salvation. Because it's through that message that we see the hopelessness that we have, that we can't keep the law, that we're hopeless in being perfect, in obtaining the righteousness required to get into heaven, and that we need a Savior to get us there and to save us from that hopelessness. So that's what the water represents, born of water and born of the Spirit. So it's the Spirit that identifies us as children of God. So we're born into the family of God because God imparts to us His divine nature. And that divine nature is through the Spirit. 1 John talks about various different ways that children of God are identified. 1 John 2:29, if you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. 3:9, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. Chapter 4, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God. 5:1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And 5:18, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself. So as children of God, we're children because we're born into a completely new family. And birth into that family is through the Holy Spirit of God. God gives us the Holy Spirit. And that is something that did not happen in the Old Testament, because the Spirit didn't come until Christ ascended into heaven. And it's interesting because in John 20:17, where the Lord was talking to Mary, he says, "Don't cling to me. I have not yet ascended to my Father." And that's interesting because he seems to be saying, don't cling to my humanity, to my body. He's going to leave, and then once he leaves, he brings the Spirit, and it's through the Spirit of God that we have a much more closer and intimate relationship with God. So as children of God, with this new nature, there are some things that go along with having that new nature. We have the divine nature in us, so sin is not going to continue on. And that's what John is saying in chapter 3, verse 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him. And that means you have the divine nature inside of you, and that you cannot live a life habitually in sin because of that new nature. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin habitually because he has been born of God. So this is a new relationship that we have come into through the death of Christ, through the separation of Jew and Gentile. There's no more distinction, and we have been brought into that promise. And we're born into the family. We become children. This new relationship occurs through being, through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, seeing the gospel, our need for salvation, and through the imparting of the divine nature through the Holy Spirit. And now we're going to look at the difference between being a son and being a child. So turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. The end of chapter 3. Chapter 3, 26 to 4, verse 7. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is the master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And we'll also read in Romans chapter 8, keeping your finger at Galatians there. Romans 8, 14 to 17 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. So I read those two passages because in Galatians, the sonship is dealing with Israel, because Paul is speaking to Jews here, and to the Jews of the Christians at Galatia, and in Romans, Paul is speaking to the Romans, Gentiles. So in Galatians, Paul is saying that they are sons of God through faith, and that they are of Abraham's seed, and heirs according to promise. So the Jews, or Israel, was given the law. And what Paul is talking about in the previous chapter was that it's not the law that saves. What actually the purpose of the law was, to reveal sin as a violation against God, and that it was only meant to show helpless sinners that they couldn't keep it, and that they did not have the power to obey it. And it also demonstrated our unworthiness to receive the free and unconditional blessing of God. That's the stumbling block for the Jew, is the law. And Paul is writing to the Galatians because they were mixing salvation by grace with the law. They were saying that you needed to keep the law also. But what Paul is saying, that they're only partakers, they're only sons of Abraham through faith. That's what he says in chapter 3, verse 7. Therefore, know that only those of faith are sons of Abraham. And he's saying that the law is done with, and we're no longer under the law. He's saying that children are the same as slaves, but he's not talking about we're slaves as Christians. This is referring to the Jew, and that the guardians that they were under, as children, they haven't received the inheritance because they were not yet sons. Because you're made sons of God. Israel is made, they've always been children, but up until Christ died, they weren't sons. They weren't brought into that, they weren't adopted as sons and given that full position of inheritance. Because it's sons who receive inheritance from their fathers. And it's a picture here of a wealthy father who was looking to pass on the wealth, the inheritance, to his son. And he says, a child is just like a slave because they don't have the inheritance yet. And it's until they become adult sons that they're given the inheritance. The heir is a child. There's no difference because the law has been the guardian and steward of the Jewish people up until the appointed time by the Father, as Paul says. And that appointed time was when Christ came and died. And then that we might receive the adoption of sons. So because you are sons, we have this special privilege to call God Abba, Father. And that basically is Papa, Daddy. So up until Christ died and the Spirit was given, they were children. And then they became adopted and received the inheritance. The inheritance is, as Paul says in Ephesians, blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we have this position where we can call God our Father, and the term Abba is a term of endearment, and it's basically the trust that a child has for their parents, apart from knowing that their parents. So when's the last time that we have acknowledged God or spoke to God as just crying out to him, like Eliana was crying downstairs? She was taken away from Sharon by her grandparents, and she just started crying because she wasn't with her mom, and all she knew was, I'm not with my mom, so I'm going to cry. And when she gets older, she's going to know that Sharon is her mother. And that's the difference. Abba is, we're just crying, we don't really know why. We need our mother, we need our father. And father is, we know that they're our father. It's an understanding. And when's the last time we cry out to God like that? The stumbling block for the Jew was the law. Paul says in Galatians in chapter 5, verse 1, stand fast in the liberty. Don't return again to the bondage that you were in. Because the Jews were in bondage to the law. They thought that they had to keep it in order to be saved. But in Romans 8, the bondage that Gentiles were in, because they were apart from Jews, the bondage that they were in was the fear of punishment from God. And the fear and the guilt. And that's what I often struggle with, is that fear. And Paul is exhorting the Jews, it's not about the law. Paul is exhorting the Gentiles, it's not about fearing. Because in the Old Testament, it says that God does not acknowledge us according to our sin or repay us according to our iniquities. And it's important for us to recognize that God, as our Father, wants us to come to Him with all of everything that we have, with our heartache, even with, I don't even feel like praying. I don't even feel guilty for the sin. Often I felt I need to feel guilty enough so that I can be forgiven, but that's not the case. We are forgiven, and we need to see that. We need to see God how He sees us, not as how we think God sees us. And that's the most that I've gotten out of this study, was that, wow, I'm not a stranger to God anymore. I don't not have hope. I'm not without God anymore. Wow, that's great in itself, but now you're a child. Wow, I'm a part of the family of God, and I have that special closeness, that special fellowship with God, have the divine nature. Yes, I'm going to heaven. But beyond that, we're made the sons of God as well. And the difference is the child signifies the relationship that we have with God. And being a son signifies the inheritance that we have in Christ. And the inheritance that we have is, we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. That includes prayer. We have access to the Father. And the position that we will have in heaven. And the blessing of being able to call upon God as our Father. And I'm still learning about it. I kind of had trouble wrapping my mind around it. But it is important for us to know that, yes, we have this new relationship with God. We are born again. But also beyond that, we are sons of God. We're joint heirs with Christ. He not only saves us, but He gives us a position that even the Jews didn't have, that God is their Father. So may we remember that in our lives, remember that, or don't take for granted our salvation. Don't take for granted that we have this relationship with God. But also be thankful for the position that we have in Christ and the inheritance and the blessings that we have through Christ. So let's just close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank You that You have brought us into your family, that you have given us a special position. We thank you that in this position we are blessed. Help us to appreciate, to know what these blessings are. And that we might be reminded of this. That we might lay hold on eternal life. We pray that we are adopted, and through this adoption that we are no longer slaves to sin and slaves to the guilt and the fear. Of God through sin. Thank you that we can come to you with our sin, that we don't have to run and hide, but that we can come to you and that we can confess it through our mediator, through Jesus Christ. And we thank you that we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us, and that we are no longer slaves to sin, but that we are sons of God and joint heirs with Christ. We thank you for the relationship, the closeness that we have with you, and the privilege that it is to be called a child of God and a son of God. We pray that we would continue in your word, walking in the Holy Spirit, not quenching it, and being obedient to the revealing of the Spirit in our lives. And we just ask your continued blessings today, as we have fellowship downstairs with one another. We thank you that we are and have a special relationship and bond with one another through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.